Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
You know, you just get better at that all the time.
I do?
Yeah, you're starting to sound like a radio person. Even putting the emphasis on the right places and all that kind of stuff. Where'd you learn that? I haven't been teaching you anything. I mean, not about that. I've been teaching you things, but...
You mean you haven't taught me the Pledge of Allegiance?
That's right. I haven't taught you the way you're saying it now, which is absolutely wonderful.
Well, I told you this. But I got it from that Pledge Allegiance song.
I know, but that was years ago.
When are you going to play it again?
Well, I don't know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So much.
You're welcome.
For your help. Okay?
All right.
All right. So, folks, don't go away. I'll be right back after this very short pause, and then we'll get into some leftover business from last night, and then we'll get into some new things, and then we're going to take your calls. On the other end of this phone line tonight, we have Princess Leah. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, Princess Leah.
Good evening, Bill.
Have you got your Star Raider in Sublo Sneak and ready to go?
You got it.
Okay.
Do you want me to play this now?
Well, I want you to explain it first.
Oh, okay. Well, after last night's broadcast, I received a phone call this evening from Ron Cross threatening me with legal action because he alleges that I misstated the facts of his case. And so going over the broadcast and reviewing everything, it was determined that I may have misstated his case in that I said that when the shoplifters in the store were discovered and his fellow employee believed that they were armed, he went to his car, got his gun, and then I said that he held the shoplifters until the police arrived, which would have sort of made him kind of a hero, actually. But that was not what occurred. He went out to his car, got his gun. The police arrived. He went outside, told the police about the shoplifters, and showed them his gun.
Which made him a real dummy.
Anyway.
An absolute idiot. And not only that, but...
Kind of a minor point.
Well, it's a big point, because I'll tell you what. The guy called, and he called you anonymously, didn't he?
Well, actually, I think he may have identified himself, but my phone box doesn't start recording until about a second after the beep, and he started talking before it. But he never did later on say who he was. I had him identified by two of his former friends and associates who know his voice quite well, and of course I've heard him on the radio too. And I was sure when I heard it that it was Ron Cross, and then I had that confirmed by two of his close friends.
Well, I listened to the tape. It's totally anonymous. I mean, even if the, even if your tape started within 1 or 2 seconds after whatever, he still had time to have at least had part of his name on there.
Or left a number for me to call back if I wanted to respond, but he didn't do that.
No, it's called No Balls. It's called Miserable Little Stinking Coward. It's called, well, it's called a lot of things, but go ahead and play it.
All right, here's the tape.
Michelle Moore, and AK, she had a nice little rendition, if you will, on the radio about me and some of my friends, and I think she better get her facts straight before, anything else is said, or we decide to take some type of lawful action. Thank you very much. Next time, get your facts straight, and Bill Cooper's full of bull. Bye.
That was it.
Okay.
So, he's threatening legal action, but I think we've made the correction, although it actually puts him in a worse light than I put him in originally.
It sure did. It put him in a terrible light. You kind of made him out to be at least attempting to be a hero. And what we found out the true facts may be closer to is that he's just a no-brain anonymous bullshitter.
Well, I guess this is just goes with the job, getting phone calls like this. But now we have made the correction publicly, and everything else that we discussed with regard to Burkhart, that is certainly documentable, and we have witnesses to everything that we talked about.
Yes.
So there's no problem there. Mm-hmm. And the misstating of the facts with regard to whether Ron Cross was a hero in saving the store from the big bad shoplifters or an idiot for handling it the way it was handled but ended up getting him arrested, that'll just have to be a judgment call on the part of the witnesses. So we have made the correction.
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a judgment call at all.
Well, thank you for letting me make that correction and to publicly display his ignorance.
You're welcome. We're happy to do that on this broadcast. Anytime that we ever say anything that's wrong, we will always correct it. But I got to tell you, folks, we didn't do it because Ron Cross threatened any kind of legal action, because Ron Cross hasn't got the guts to follow through with any kind of legal action, and that's the truth. Ron Cross is a follower. He's a J.D. Burkhart hanger-oner. He's 90% bullshit, 10% might have some shoes on, and he has absolutely disgraced himself. J.D. Burkhart has disgraced himself, and they've all been exposed on this broadcast last night. And as Michelle said, we've gone over this with a fine-tooth comb, and we can back up every single statement that was made last night, except for the correction that we just made. And I got to tell you the truth, there's several different stories about that, depending upon who you talk to. And so even the correction we just made may not be the correct one either. But it is certainly the one that was printed in the newspaper, and it's the one that Ron Cross really wants to hear. So that's the one that we gave him. We're going to open the phones and take your calls. And for those of you who may have forgotten the number, or for the new listeners to the hour of the time, the number is 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Calling, hold on.
Goodbye. I gave her a tremendous, longer than I've ever given anybody in the history of this broadcast to straighten up her act. When you call any radio broadcast, turn off your radio, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. It's Michael in London.
Hello.
I'm calling. How are you, sir?
Good.
Good to hear you. Did you hear about the Bilderberg meeting in King City, Ontario, a few weeks ago?
Yes, I certainly did.
Yeah, it's 2 hours from home. the Toronto Star covered some of it, what they could. They at least made it public that this was occurring, and I'm somewhat vindicated by the local media here who actually scoffed at me for even mentioning that name one time. They thought it was all a joke, more of a UFO alien Bilderberg One World Order crap, basically.
I remember when that happened to you.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, you know, all of the flack and the phone calls, I remember all of it.
Yep, our local paper said, secret meeting spawns wild conspiracy theories. Why would it do that?
Well,
meeting of some of the finest industrialists and wealth of the world spawn a conspiracy theory. That's beyond me.
Yeah, that's beyond me, too. Why would they meet in secret?
Exactly.
And if they did, why would the media be so reluctant to report it? I mean, if you got five football players in one bar, it's in every paper in the country.
Exactly. They published 80 names of the people attending, and they left 40 out.
Well, you've got to give the Toronto Star a lot of credit because they're the only major newspaper that I have ever seen in the entire history of the Bilderbergers that have even mentioned their name.
I'm wondering if the reporter kept his job. But you see, the Toronto Star is not controlled by Conrad Black, who runs Hollinger's.
Mm-hmm.
He has a stranglehold on the media here in Canada. And the Toronto Star is not controlled by Hollinger's. So that's a possible reason, and I don't see why they would want to snub him, though. He has too much clout. But the reporter had guts, and the paper had guts to print it.
Yes, and I don't think the reporter would have lost his job, because if he was going to lose his job, they never would have printed the story.
Well, that would have been another conspiracy theory, you see.
Another conspiracy. <Fire him.
laughs> Reporter fired after secret meeting report, you know.
No, that wouldn't happen. It would have been the editors that would have been fired.
Sure. It amazes me that when I started researching all this, what I came up against, and ignorance, number one, and I guess arrogance, number two. You know, don't rock my world and keep all that to yourself, when basically I was trying to say this isn't a conspiracy. If you look objectively and do some homework, you could view it perhaps as a conspiracy. I don't see it that way. I see it as an unfolding of a plan that with some intelligence you can put pieces together, whether you want to call it a conspiracy or not. I'm tired of that label, because that immediately means you're possibly anti-Semitic, et cetera, even mentioning those things.
Well, it's a buzzword, and it means absolutely nothing. It's the nature of humankind to conspire.
Exactly. Businesses seek to get together to outdo the competition.
Oh, families conspire against other families.
Sure.
People within families conspire against other family members. People at work conspire against other people at work to make sure they get promoted and before the others, or they get the bonus. It is the nature of humankind to conspire. And this certainly began as a conspiracy. There's no doubt about that. But it's not a conspiracy now. It's all out in the open. They are so arrogant. They are so sure of themselves. They are so certain that we are all so stupid that nothing, they don't hide anything anymore. And it's all available for anybody who has the guts and the brains to look for it.
Yes, that's the truth. I'm a bit concerned as to the nature of the meeting. I'm assuming they were discussing the outcome of the next referendum that will be taking place in Quebec, should Quebec separate from Canada and break ties with Ottawa, how the financing of that will be held, and or the New World money system that I've heard was going to be printed in Canada, and that the Royal Bank is in control of that. Whether, I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't know.
Well, one thing I have to tell you is don't go off the deep end because the meeting was held in Canada. It doesn't mean that the focus of the meeting was Canada, because when they meet, they discuss world events and world policies and world plans. I am certain that they discussed at least the portion of the world plan bringing about the New World Order by the breakup of Canada, by the succession of Quebec, which I'm certain is in the cards and is going to happen.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, and they would use that as a mechanism to get the blue helmets onto our soil.
Sure. It's all divide and conquer.
That's what I think it is.
And when the first election, when the first referendum was voted on in Quebec as to whether they were going to succeed, they did actually have large numbers of foreign troops brought into Canada and in place just in case that that referendum went the wrong way.
Right, and GM here in Canada, in my hometown actually, was awarded a $15 billion contract to manufacture light armored personnel carriers. And the workers were all abuzz. Great, we've got work, work, work. No one mentioned or discussed what the light armored personnel carriers were being manufactured for and why.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that the great boogaboo of the superpowers facing off against each other is all gone, and the danger of a great tremendous war in the world is
gone. We don't have to fear that anymore, do we? That's what the great UN is for, and they're doing their part. Being sarcastic.
That's what they're telling us, but yet they're manufacturing and transporting more military equipment all over the country and Canada and in fact the world than they ever.
That's right. I'm assuming these executives would be, you know, gentlemen, you're going to make a lot of armored personnel carriers. God willing, we'll never have to use them. It'd be like Westinghouse manufacturing 100,000 refrigerators and pushing them into the ocean and saying, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
It's a make-work program.
That's right. They have this huge, tremendous multi-jurisdictional task force, military operations and multi-country military operations and joint coordination with each other, more than they ever. I'll tell you, there's more military activity going on in this country today than ever
right.
on in the history of this country.
Uh-huh.
And there's more military equipment being transported and stored. There are more foreign troops in this country being trained. There is now a permanent German Air Force base at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico with their own flag and their own buildings and their it's a German Air Force base. For the first time, there's a foreign military permanent base on United States soil, and the American people don't even seem to be disturbed.
Not at all. Well, I'll close, and I just want to tell your listeners that I've been listening to you for a while now, and I hope people pay attention and that you've been consistent, and you're an inspiration to listen to this day, and I'm looking forward to your next book.
Well, thank you, but I would call your attention to the fact that Ron Cross says that I'm full of bull, and I think you should take that under consideration.
Okay, Bill. I'll do that.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
520-333-4457. I want all of you to take under consideration and you know, do this seriously. That Ron Cross says that William Cooper is full of bull. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Did you hear about the bombing of Saudi Arabia?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't turn off your radio real quick, we're not going to hear about it now. How about that?
Okay, I'll turn it off now.
Hurry up.
Okay, now.
You know, I can't believe that you were listening to this broadcast. You heard what happened at the beginning of the program, and you still had your radio on when you called.
Well, but I can't hear you unless I have the radio on. Anyway, the radio's off.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so what, did you hear about the bombing in Saudi Arabia?
No, I didn't.
In Dahran?
No, when did this happen?
Happened about 7 or 8 hours ago.
7 or 8 hours ago?
Something like
that. What happened?
Well, 150, it was at the Air Force Base, Dahran, Saudi Arabia. They sent in an oil truck, which had bombs. And about 150 Americans were casualties. So far, 25 are dead.
Now, who sent in an oil truck with bombs?
Well, I mean, of course, the killers didn't identify themselves, but it's, it's allegedly Islamic fundamentalists.
Allegedly Islamic fundamentalists?
Yes.
Well, but they didn't identify themselves. Nobody really knows. So nobody knows that it's Islamic fundamentalists at all.
Well, I mean, maybe
it could have been the Israeli Mossad.
It could have.
Could have been.
What's your theory?
I don't have any theory. I don't know. What I'm trying to do is counteract the bullshit that you just said, that it's allegedly the Islamic fundamentalists, and you don't know that.
Well,
so I'm just counteracting that with another bullshit statement that it could have been the Israeli Mossad.
Well, what makes you think that the Mossad has a higher probability than Islamic fundamentalists?
What I'm trying to tell you is if you don't know, neither one of them have any probability, and it is not the proper thing to suggest that somebody may have done it if you don't know that they did it.
In some specific group.
That's right.
You're saying you have no comment?
I don't know. I'm just now hearing about it.
Oh, you got, yeah, I guess you're too busy to watch the news.
Watch what news? Are you talking about ABC, NBC, CNN?
Well, what would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend anything but those.
So how do you get your news?
I get my news in many other ways.
So how would you find out about what happened there if you don't watch the major media?
Well, eventually I would find out about it, and I would find out about it in a more accurate manner than I just did, without any assertions that somebody did it, without any proof that they did it.
Through private intelligence sources?
Yes.
Oh, you have your own agents there?
Yes, I certainly do.
So you'll find out in a day or two what happened?
I may find out there may be a fax on my machine in my office that arrived hours ago that I haven't seen. I have been very busy doing many other things today.
When I said it, that's the first you heard of it.
Yes.
But of course you believe it's a true story.
I didn't believe anything about it. I'm just telling you that this is the first I've heard of it. I didn't say I believed it.
Well, I'm not saying you believe who did it, but I'm saying you believe there was an explosion there.
No, I don't know.
That?
I have no idea.
If you don't believe that, then, I mean, what's there to say? You mean there's a lie about 150 American casualties?
I don't know. I've had people call this show and tell some of the biggest lies you've ever heard in your life.
Oh, it's on all the major networks. And, I mean, you'll be in tomorrow's papers. I mean, what can I say?
I don't know.
So, you know, just have no, you don't trust any media, and therefore...
I don't trust anybody. I don't trust any media. I don't trust anything unless I absolutely investigate and verify for myself. And I never, ever lend any credence or substantiation whatsoever to somebody making an allegation against any group or any peoples or any nation or any organization when they don't even know themselves.
But you will acknowledge that. Once you see it on the media, which you haven't, but once you see it on all the media.
No, if I see it on ABC, CBS, NBC, or CNN, it does not mean that it ever happened at all. Could be another lie.
It could be total fantasy?
Yeah, did you ever hear of the Tonkin Gulf incident?
No, tell me about it.
You never heard of the Tonkin Gulf incident?
Yeah, I vaguely, right.
Vaguely, huh? I suggest you better do some studying, and I best suggest that you better really pay attention to the bullshit lies and the propaganda that the traditional media bombard us with on a daily basis. If you believe what you see on ABC, CNN, NBC, and CBS without any question whatsoever, then you are one of the biggest sheeple that have ever lived in this whole world. And, you know, if it really happened and what you reported is true, I thank you for that report. I think you were tremendously way off base for alleging that somebody did it when you don't know who did it from the man in the moon. And I also would admonish you not to be so readily ready to believe what you see on the established media, because they lie to us every day, 24 hours a day, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, and I am sick of it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I'm back. Anyway, the comment I wanted to make was that I saw Alan Russo's new film, Man at Hell.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was really good and very appealing for a lot of the yuppies that I know. But there's one problem with it, and it's a problem I think for anyone who wants to choose it. The point is that there's profanity in the film. And that means I can't really show it to my dad, and I can't show it to my mother.
Uh-huh.
Can't show it to certain people who would be offended, or maybe the people who have kids would be watching it.
I've yet to see the whole thing. He sent me the short version without the stuff that he knew I would object to, so I really don't know what the whole thing's all about.
Well, there's profanity. Well, there's some...
What I saw, I have to admit, was very good. But yeah. But the assertion that selling somebody a videotape and then getting $5 or $10 from them every month to send them a fax is going to turn this country around, is especially after having been the founder of the Constitution Party, which which could have really done something for this country, really rubs me raw.
Well, most people are waiting for the Patriots to have some kind of political.
What are they waiting for? Why are they waiting for the Patriots? There's no such thing as a knight in shining armor and a great white stallion that's going to come along and rescue you. Stop waiting.
People who are waiting to see what we're going to do, who aren't really on the side. But I wanted to ask how your baby's doing. You never mentioned me.
Oh, little Allison? Oh, she's doing great. She has the most wonderful Rush Limbaugh impersonation that you've ever seen in your life. Annie, is Allison awake? Annie, is Allison awake? Oh, she's asleep. Well, if she was awake, I'd get her in front of the microphone and let her do her Rush Limbaugh impersonation. You know, she's only 10 months old. She does the most wonderful Rush Limbaugh impersonation that you've ever seen. And one of these nights, I'm going to do that.
Are you ever going to have an earlier show for people on the East Coast?
I don't see how I can have an earlier show unless Tom Valentine dies, and I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. He comes on before me, and he was contracted with WWCR before I ever came along, and so he has seniority, and until he gives up the time slot, there's no way that I can come on earlier. And I don't wish anything bad on anybody ever.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are waking up now because, especially here in Florida, they're really attacking the children. The family,
Rich or S. Oh yeah, they're really attacking the family big time, and they want to take the children away from all parents and raise them by the state. And if you get Veritas?
Yeah, I do.
Then you saw the story, right?
I don't always read everything.
Well, you better read it. There's a story in there that says that a federal court judge, has ruled that if you send your children to public school, you have given up all your rights to those children and to anything, any say over what happens to them.
Or take any kind of Medicaid, any kind of help or any kind of assistance.
What?
They have a special claim over those children, too.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people have had their kids taken away. I've heard of them. I don't know them personally.
Well,
folks are having them taken away and put in different homes, maybe homes with more money or more.
That's baloney. What it is they're breaking up the families. That's what it's all about.
Well, they're giving the children a number of HRS in the school. And then, well, there's just a case recently where, you know, kids are making up stories just because they're mad at their parents for disappointing them.
Well, of course. They're children. They don't understand what problems that causes. They just want to get even for something.
Well, then the system.
They had to go to bed too early, or they didn't get to go out and play with Johnny at midnight or something, you know?
Well, that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
But they can turn around, and now they're prosecuting the kids for wrongful arrest or wrongful.
And they ought to leave the family alone, period.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we are quickly reaching a state of boiling over in the pot. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Ron in California.
Hello.
I always wanted to speak with you about the UFO issue. I've been doing a lot of research on my own because I bought your book, or the book that you sponsor, NASA Mooned America, and it's just full of facts. And I have checked with my own encyclopedia and others at the library. And what I found is, depending on what year that you read, that and you look up under the atmosphere, it'll show different layers, like the bottommost layer they call the troposphere, then the stratosphere, mesosphere, then the thermosphere. Now, the thermosphere, they claim, in this encyclopedia, that the temperature up there is several thousand degrees. So my question is if they really went to the moon, and if we really have invaders from space, how do they go through that thermosphere, let alone the Van Allen belt?
Yeah, well, you've got a wonderful point there. The fact is, and the truth is, based upon NASA's own figures on the construction of these spacecraft that these people supposedly did those things in, they could never have survived the Van Allen, the radiation in the Van Allen belt. There's no way that they could have lived through a transition through that radiation belt.
These other belts, everything that seems that they could confirm is within 150 mile limit. Now my other question is when these UFO sightings, is there ever a sound that's associated with these discs that travel at these tremendous speeds? Because my theory and my thought is that even the space shuttle, when it comes down from space to Earth, it's not powered by anything. It's just powered by gravity. And yet at that supersonic speed, it'll make a sonic boom. But yet these flying discs that travel at 100 times that speed, they go through the air, and no one says or claims that there's any sound associated with it. I wonder what's your experience.
Well, there have been sounds associated with this phenomenon, from a buzzing sound to crackling sounds to all. There have been quite a few different.
Well, according to our law of physics, if there's really somebody in there, maneuvers.
Right. So you're getting to my point. If they have a technology, they probably have something that they can make these flying discs fly at subsonic speeds. But when they show these stunts where they go at this high speed, maybe they're using a different technology to fool us to think that they go. Because like when I was a kid and I used to go to the drive-in movie, my dad used to let me play with his spotlight on the screen during intermission.
Oh, you're the guy. You're the one that was doing that.
And that, well, there was many others, I'm sure. But the point what I want to make is the same characteristic of shining those beams around is very similar to shining a high-tech laser beam with some type of imaging on it that would give an illusion of these feats. And also when we think of stealth, we think of usually stealth to hide from radar. But what if they're experimenting with things to make things appear on radar that's not really there?
Well, you got a point. I can't answer all those questions. I can say I've seen these things, and I can say that they're real, whether they're holographic images or some kind of projection, or whether they're real craft. That I can't answer, but I can tell you that they're real, that they're in the sky, that they fly. I can tell you that at least some of them are real flying craft that I have observed take off and land in the desert in Nevada, known as Groom Dry Lake, Area 51. I've also seen them enter and leave the ocean when I was on the USS Tyroo, SS 416.
Yeah, I've read your book, sir.
And so I can tell you that it's not the imagination. It's no one's imagination. These things are real, or at least they're perceived by the observers to be real in some instances, and in other instances they are real flying machines.
Well, what I think what's so, amazing is that all the other technology that came from the war, the turbojet engine, the swept wings, all of that stuff, they capitalized on it right away. We saw airliners and everything with this technology. But then it just seems funny that they would hold back this flying disc technology just so they could bring terror on us.
Oh, it's not funny at all. Not if they really want their new world order. You see, this was propounded in 1917 by John Dewey, the father of this ridiculously failed educational system that we have.
Oh, I understand all that. I know about H.G. Wells and the power of the media.
So,
my dad told me the story when they were all clustered around a radio there in New Jersey, and they played the H.G. Wells drama, War of the Worlds.
Uh-huh.
Everyone went nuts over that. So I know they have a plan to do that, but I just wonder if they really have that technology to do it. And they might want to fool us in some other manner. That's my thought.
Well, if they had the technology to do it, they would have already done it. You see, that's the problem. They have some of the technology to make us believe some things, and they're using that technology to change the conscious awareness of the people of the world to believe that there is an external threat to this earth. They cannot have extraterrestrials land on the White House lawn and some little creature get out and go shake hands with the president yet, because they haven't been able to make one.
Right. I have to agree with you on that 100%. I appreciate your show very much.
Thank you. And thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They are our representatives in Phoenix, Arizona, that really can put money in your hands. Now, I've talked to Craig a couple of times. I said, Craig, what's the matter with you? How can you take real money, I mean gold and silver coin and bullion and all this kind of stuff, and you put out an investment in this, and you're just selling it to people. And you're willing to accept this counterfeit crap that I've got in my wallet in exchange for some real money. I said, you know, that really doesn't make you look too smart. You know what Craig says to me? He says, Bill, as long as people believe that that green stuff, that Federal Reserve notes are money, then it will function as money. And what it enables me to do is play the market and increase my personal wealth in gold and silver coin and allow other people, your listeners and anybody else who wants to take advantage of my ability to do this, to also protect their assets and put their hands on some real money. And he said something that's very true. He says, if I didn't do this, they would not ever have that ability. They just wouldn't know how to go about it. He said, Bill, I know what's coming, and you know what's coming. And we may disagree on a lot of things, but one thing we agree upon, we've got to try to enable as many people as possible to protect themselves so that when this happens, they don't go down the tubes. Because if they do, they cannot help us recover the Republic. And they cannot, in that situation, remain free men and women. And folks, that's the truth. So call Swiss America Trading now and get your hands on some real money. You don't want to be the one that becomes the beggar at the crossroads. You don't want to be the dead body lying beside the fence. You don't want to be the vacant-eyed wanderer who's lost his or her mind. That is walking on a journey to nowhere. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. I'm going to tell you right now, I think when the buffalo chip hits the fan in this country, most Americans who have never, ever even considered the fact that anything bad could happen to them in this country are simply going to lose their minds. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Get your hands on some real money. 1-800-289-2646.
Okay.
Okay, what? Hello? You're on the air.
Hello, Bill?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I've been listening to you for a while. I think you're a great guy.
Thank you.
I just want to tell you that I have a friend of a friend whose father's ancestor's uncle is friends with Bill Clinton, and they were...
Wait a minute. A friend of a friend of a friend whose father's aunt's uncle is friends with Bill Clinton?
It's a long story, but talking about the New World Order the other night, and I think he and you are just full of baloney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He and who?
You.
Well, you know, somebody who listens to the friend of a friend of a friend whose uncle has a brother whose aunt's cousin is a friend of Bill Clinton is absolutely nothing but bullshit. 520-333-4578. You're going to have to try better one than that, little sweetie, to get the best of me. You haven't got the brains. The friend of a friend of a friend of a cousin's aunt's uncle's brother who knows Bill Clinton, indeed. What an airhead. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Gary from Connecticut.
Hi, Gary.
Can I read to you a little bit?
Well, it depends on what you're going to read and how long it's going to be.
Very quick about Aryan, this Aryan thing. I'm going to read to you from a book by George Seldes. It's called Facts and Fascism. And I've never heard you discuss this, and you should find this very...
When was it written?
1941.
Okay.
During the war. During the big one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go. There is no evidence the scientists find that the chief European groups differ in cultural capabilities. The nations at the present time are not racial units. The word Aryan dates from 1794, when Sir William Jones introduced the word Arya, A-R-Y-A, for people who spoke one of the Indo-European languages. Professor Max Müller, a German professor of philosophy at Oxford, in 1853 promulgated the theory that Aryan languages must have originated with an Aryan race. Many Germans leaped upon this idea to boast of a superior Aryan German people. By 1888, Professor Müller, who was a scientist and therefore open-minded, confessed his error. He wrote, "I have declared again and again that if I say Aryan, I mean neither blood, nor bones, nor hair, nor skull. I mean simply those who speak an Aryan language. To me, an ethnologist who speaks of Aryan race, Aryan blood, Aryan eyes, and hair, is as great as a sinner as a linguist who speaks of a dolichocephalic dictionary or a brachiocephalic grammar."
Well, that's very good, but you must have missed some broadcasts. But we've discussed that many, many times.
As Aryan not being a race but a language group.
Not only not being a race, but not even really a language group.
Uh-huh. Did you ever hear the thing about possibly Hitler's grandmother being Jewish?
I have heard that story many times. I have never seen any substantiation for it.
Can I read one paragraph about it?
Well, you can read it, but you have to source what you're reading.
Well, it's from the same book, one page after.
Okay, who wrote this book?
His name is George Seldes. He was a writer of the left. I don't know if he was a big time socialist, but he was definitely left wing.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you the truth. I think he's still alive. He's in his high 90s, and most of his books are out of print. He exposed Errol Flynn as being a Nazi agent.
Well, Errol Flynn was a Nazi agent.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but he had, I guess he ran into Errol Flynn in Spain with that when he did that. But anyway, he documented a lot of stuff about Errol Flynn. He was right on top of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll just read you this paragraph, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
"Curiously enough, no less an authority than Fritz Thyssen, who was the steel magnate, the man who bought and paid for the Nazi Party, believes the rumor that Hitler is partly Jewish. Every official trace of evidence concerning Hitler's ancestry has now disappeared. It has been destroyed by order, just as were Mussolini's police record in Italy and his record for forgery in Switzerland. However, Feist and Reich, according to the published records, Hitler's grandmother had an illegitimate son, and this son was to become the father of Germany's present leader. An inquiry by Chancellor Dollfuss of Austria disclosed the fact that the Führer's grandmother became pregnant during her employment as a servant in a Viennese family, none other than that of Baron Rothschild. Thyssen insists that Hitler learned of this document and that it was one of the reasons for the murder of Dollfuss. Thyssen believes that the British Secret Service has a copy. The original, he says, Hitler got from Chancellor Schuschnigg and destroyed. It would, if Thyssen's rumors turn out to be facts, it would appear that the world's greatest anti-Semite, the greatest liar, and the greatest propagandist of the international bankers' myth is himself a Rothschild.
Huh. Well, that's very interesting, but I want to point out to the listening audience that there is no factual documentation or proof for any such allegations whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of the Nazi top guys, didn't they have a lot of Jewish background?
No. In fact, most of the top Nazi, and especially the general staff of Nazi Germany were Catholic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I'm very familiar with the Catholic connection. I think Reinhard Heydrich, he had Jewish ancestry too.
I don't know. I know that there was one openly admitted and can be proven that was a Jew who worked for Hitler as one of his top henchmen, who was totally accepted and protected and did an awful lot of work for the Nazi Party and for Nazi Germany. But that's the only one that I've ever been able to substantiate and document. Most of the leading top Nazis and Nazi general staff and the military arm were Catholic. Hitler had a pact with the Vatican and with the Pope. It was the Vatican that enabled most of the top Nazi officials to escape Germany after the war and make their way to safety in South America and other places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever read The Labyrinth by Walter Schellenberg?
No, but I got to tell you, you've been on way too long, and we got to take some other calls.
Hey, Bill, we love you out here.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your questions and for your input.
Okay, good night.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, how are you?
Good.
I recently got an issue of Nevada Magazine that talks about what's going on in Area 51, and I couldn't help but, after reading this and listening to your show tonight, I find a parallel. On Area 51 right now, they're selling memorabilia, memberships in the Groom Lake Yacht Club, T-shirts, mugs, and I've been listening to your show tonight, sir, and all I can say is that you have the patience of a saint, because some of the calls that you are getting and the way that you are dealing with them only proves once again that you have been around more than once, and I give you a lot of credit for it. I just saw a parallel between the two things.
Well, thank you.
That's no problem, sir, and God bless you, and just continue the good work. But when I read articles about people selling mugs and T-shirts, and I hear people calling you for their own individual agendas, and you have the patience to deal with them, just remember, sir, that there are people out here that really know where you're coming from. And that is not to say that I know you inside or out. It is just from the years that I've listened to you, reading your book, and I give you a lot of credit for the patience you have this evening.
Well, thank you. I don't always have that patience. If you've been listening to me for very long, you probably know that.
Oh, I do, and I was glad I got through, because I've been trying and trying, and I'm basically just getting kind of a kick out of it, because it's almost like a lot of the calls there are trying to market you for whatever their purpose is, to somehow make it seem like, oh, now Bill Cooper is taking calls about this, that, and the other, and he's just going to entertain any topic that people have. And like I said, I'm not trying to put words into your head, but there are those of us out there that realize what's going on, and we just give you a lot of credit for it. Just don't do this too often, okay?
Don't do what too often?
Take calls on any particular topic unless you feel like that it is helping the uneducated masses. In that case, I'll give you a pass on it, sir.
Well, it does if I can set the caller straight on what it is. You see, if they call and they want to broach a subject and I just arbitrarily cut them off, then I'm accused of not allowing certain subjects to be discussed. But if I let them discuss the subject and the truth comes out in that discussion, whatever the truth may be, then I've done a service to the listeners and I have not allowed them to further their agenda.
Then what I'm basically doing is seconding what you just said.
Okay.
Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you.
And have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. And I've also been known to just arbitrarily cut somebody off if I think they're full of absolute bullshit. And I'll continue to do that anytime I think that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Tom from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a question for you. In light of all this crap that's been finally hitting the press about the Clintons and all the indictments and convictions and everything, are you still going to stick with your earlier prediction that Bill will still be our next president?
Unless there's some kind of a miracle or they can make some of these charges stick, because right now all they are is allegations. They don't have anything on Bill Clinton or Hillary.
So you're still kind of feeling like he's going to slip through it just like he always has in the past?
They don't call him Slick Willie for nothing. Do you think old Dead Fish Dole is going to capture the American heart?
Well, I sure am not too enthusiastic about it. I just wondered if there were, with all the bad press, I was just wondering what your opinion was as to whether or not they were going to try to jump Clinton and substitute somebody else in there.
Let me tell you something. Any kind of publicity is better than no publicity at all.
As long as they spell the name right.
That's right. So every time Bill Clinton's name is in the news and Dole's isn't, it's another vote for Bill Clinton. I don't care what they're talking about, unless they can make something stick in a court of law.
So with all the other evidence and all the other people that are dropping around him, you don't think that there's any...
What evidence?
Well, the people that have been convicted for the financial transgressions that are like...
Oh, wait a minute. Have you ever known anybody that's been convicted for anything? Have you ever known anybody that's been convicted for a crime?
Like personally known them?
Yeah.
No, huh?
No, what if you did? What if you lived next door to somebody who was convicted for murder, and you knew him real well?
Right.
Does that make you a murderer?
No, I see what you're saying. So
I hope you see what I'm saying, because if you don't, this whole country's down the tubes.
Yeah, no,
if you want to get Bill Clinton, get him. But don't try to burn the man because somebody that he knows got burned.
Well, I guess what my question, I'm not asking that, my question is, with all the other people that have been convicted who he had dealings with and that were in his campaign, is there going to be any evidence come out of that he himself was involved in some of that wrongdoing?
I don't know. I truly don't know. I think the man is as dirty and as crooked as hell, but until somebody can prove it, he's going to be the next president. I'm telling you that right now. It's the truth, and you better listen to it.
I'm not doubting it. I'm just trying to see, you know, in light of all the new stuff that's come out, if he's still held to it, and the answer obviously is yes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If they can't make it stick, he's the next president. If a miracle occurs and they can make something stick, then he's down the tubes and he's out the door.
But do you think that those...
And whoever comes in and takes his place will probably be the next president, because nobody wants to vote for Dole.
Do they really have an incentive, the people that are doing the prosecuting, do they really have an incentive to make anything stick on Clinton?
They do now. They didn't before the convictions came in on the Whitewater trial that was held down in Arkansas.
Okay.
But they do now.
Okay.
Not only do they have an incentive, but they have a lot of support now that they didn't have before.
Right. They know that there's something real there.
They know that there's something real there. That's true.
All right. Well, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, remember, don't lose sight of the fact that if we want to be Americans, we have to be Americans, and we got to do it right. Don't start playing the game like the other side plays the game, because then all is lost. Yeah, we've got to hold the high moral ground, and we have to be American. And American means you're not guilty until you're proven guilty and convicted by a jury in a court of law. And that's the truth. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, no matter how bad you hate somebody or dislike somebody, that's the way it has to be, or this is not America, and there's no hope for any of us. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me if you still have any copies of that Ed McCabe book on the oxytocin therapies. I was told that you might still have some of those.
No, that was a long, long, long time ago. And if we do, I don't know about it, and they'd probably be in the bottom of a box since we just moved our research center and literally almost everything is in storage.
Any idea where a person could get that? I understand that's out of print.
From what I understand, it is. But if you go to some of these conventions and seminars that they have on these types of things, you may find somebody who's either copied or reprinted or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or you may find someone who is selling some of the original books as used copies.
That's what we'll look for then.
Okay.
I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For your information, and I want you to know we enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. 520-333-4578. I think we've got time for maybe one or two more calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Bill from Illinois.
Hello.
And I've studied your book a little couple, two, 3 years ago. And I'm reading a new book, Scarlet and the Beast. It's a series.
Uh-huh.
Ever heard of this one?
Yeah.
It verifies a lot of the things that about Freemasonry and the history of the war between English and French Freemasonry. And,
yes.
And also, the other thing I wanted to ask was this in your commercial about the thing about the gold coins?
Mm-hmm.
And they're always mentioning American gold coins. Is there any reason that the... If things do collapse or whatever, if you can't use tender, you know, coins from other countries?
Sure you can. Gold is gold. But one of the things you have to make sure of is that whoever you're going to be dealing with recognizes it as real gold. And usually they'll recognize an American or United States gold coin. They may not recognize so readily a Krugerrand, especially people who have never dealt with them or seen them before. So when you present it for trade on the black market or for sale or whatever, you want to make sure that people recognize it for what it is and don't suspect it as being, maybe some gold mixed with some copper or something like that, or
bits or whatever.
Or a blob of lead surrounded with a little bit of gold or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I'm more like, I've done a little bit of world traveling, and I've seen different stuff that's been around for literally hundreds of years. The British sovereigns, for example, you know,
yeah,
they're very they're used all the Arabs use them all the time, you know.
Yeah, in a Commonwealth country you wouldn't have any problem with that, but in North Dakota you might.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, that's all I had. So
thank you.
Bye. Thank you for
calling. Well, folks, I really think that's about all the time we've got. So what we're going to do is shuffle on out of here, shuffle on off to Buffalo. I saw that in an old movie somewhere. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you. And remember, don't forget, Ron Croft said, I'm full of bull.